Everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Inside the Ropes here in the main feed. My name is Kenny McTosh, joined as always by Sondra. Hi, Sondra, how are you?
Hi, Kenny. I'm currently warm because I'm sitting in my room and I had to, like, you know, close the window and turn off the fan, and my air conditioner is broken, and it was 90 degrees yesterday, which is like 32 degrees for you people, and it was 92 in my home most of the day, and I might die, but that's okay. Other than that, I am doing all right. And I am here to talk about wrestling with you. How are things with you, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm trying to not... So we announced the Bret Hart tour last night. That's great news. Very excited about that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to not, like, lose my mind with, like... I can't seem to order a ticket. It says on the poster they go on sale on Monday.
That's always going to be people.
But it's even now, because like, I've been in this kind of new thing where, like, I'm trying to be more zen about not responding, and of course that lasts an hour. And one guy on Twitter, like, God bless him, but he was just like, I think he was like, no Cardiff again, and I was like, well, like, we've done a lot of research and found that Cardiff just doesn't seem to draw that well, and we stick with the cities that we know do fairly well. And then he was like, well, that's patronizing. I won't be coming back to you then. And I'm like, you asked a question. Like, you wanted me to answer why we're not there. And I don't know what else you want from me.
You can't please everyone, though. I mean, people are going to be dumb. And what I don't understand is, like, I don't know, like, being in America, I drive 3 hours to go to a show regularly. Like, that's just a normal thing for me. So people who are like, why aren't you running Edinburgh instead of Glasgow? I'm like, it's a 45-minute train.
I mean, like, I it's weird because I'm just one of those people where I go, oh, is it somewhere I'd like to go or is it not? That's as far as I would think in it. So, like, I'm always just like, but I understand people want to ask the staff and I need to be nicer about it. But it's agonizing because I'm the sort of person who wants to go, I want to reply to everything. And I've been told by many people, stop replying to things. So I'm trying
You need to
not,
stop replying
so
to
I'm
things.
I'm trying to
it's
not
true.
Reply to things. But I'm very excited about
I mean, like,
Bret
be
Hart.
Professional and reply to the things that need replying to, but just, like, don't waste your energy on stupid inquiries.
So I'm trying, but I'm very excited about bringing Bret over. I've wanted to show him for a long time, so that's very exciting. October, he comes over. Should be pretty fun. I've always wanted to see a show done well with him, which I've not seen before, so there's my goal.
Because he was always your example of, like, this is not how to run a show, right? Like, when you saw the Bret Hart one in the conference center?
Well, yeah, just, like, work to the strengths of your guest, you know? Like, Bret Hart's probably not really the sort of guy where we're just sitting laughing all night, so you work around it. That's how I see it. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm really looking forward to it. It should be fun. So, tickets go on sale this Monday at 8 p.m. So, insidetheropes.co.uk/hitman if you want to check out tickets for that. So it's a big weekend coming up in wrestling, Sondra. We finally got AEW's Fight for the Fallen show is coming up.
I'm excited.
So we're under the current bit, but there's been a little bit of a controversial thing that's come up. So you know how, like, kind of a lot of the feedback that I saw anyway from the last show was that people were kind of done with the librarian thing, right? They were kind of like,
yes,
like, it's okay. So now they've announced Sonny Kiss versus the librarian Peter Avalon on the pre-show, and I think where people, I mean, so, like, for me, I'm probably just gonna skip it, which is a real shame because I do actually kind of want to see more of Sonny Kiss, but, like, I hated I just did not like the pre-show for Fighter Fest. Well, I liked the first match, and then I was just like, you know, I want to jump off a cliff. But I feel like it's quite interesting in that, like, so obviously for these shows in the US it's free, right? In on Bleacher Report Live that you guys watch it on.
Yes.
But internationally it is a paid for event, right? It's like, I think it's like £10 or $10, whatever. It's not much. But you are just, I guess, kind of selling what you're doing. And some of the kind of feedback I saw was like, you know, wouldn't you want to feature something? Like, because the other match they've got on the pre-show, which is far more up my alley, is Jimmy Havoc, Darby Allin, and Joey Janela against MJF, Sammy Guevara, and Shawn Spears. And that to me feels like that's a sampler of what you're going to get in the main show. But I don't feel like the librarian stuff is really an example of what you're going to get in the main show. So I guess my question for you, because I know you're more open to a lot of different kind of stuff, what do you think the answer is? Because it seems like the first two times now, the pre-show has gotten a lot of criticism. You know, the Battle Royal for the first one and the Nakazawa match for the second one. How do you think they should structure the pre-shows? Do you think the way they're doing it's just fine? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's just kind of people are going to kind of get used to it? Where do you kind of sit on the pre-show thing and what they're putting out there, I guess, to try and entice some people to buy into a new product?
See, the thing with me is that, like, I am of two minds about it because I think if you're trying to entice someone to buy into a new product, putting something that was universally, like, not received very well, the librarian thing was not received very well on the pre-show for Fighter Fest. I didn't actually watch the Leva Bates Alley match. I saw like parts of it, but because I was, you know, obviously like traveling all day that day, it skipped me by, and there's so much wrestling to watch. But I don't know, like I love leaning into weird shit and weird gimmicks and kind of like inside jokes and stuff like that. And this feels like just kind of an inside joke with everyone, right? Like this feels like an inside joke to kind of like pop the guys who own the company, and they're having fun with it. If you watch Being the Elite, they did have a segment to open Being the Elite. I think it was last week where Leva Bates was like, I have to talk to you about the librarian thing. Like, I don't know. I think it's, and you get the impression that she's going to be like, it's just not working. Like, people aren't responding. She goes, it's great. People are loving it. It's so amazing. So, like, they are very aware that they had a lot of criticism for the librarian situation on the pre-show to Fyter Fest. So, I'm hoping that what they do with this is kind of like lean into it and make it as over the top ridiculous as possible, but like in a fun way without like having it be like, I'm shoving this down your throat or whatever. And because I mean, they're obviously taking the piss out of WWE, like shoving Baron Corbin down people's throats, right? Because they're saying, like, we're gonna have all librarians, like, who's gonna be the champion for the next 5 years? The librarian's gonna be the champion for the next 5 years, like, all this stuff. So they're very aware of what is going on. I don't know, but like, I mean, they're gonna need to be careful because there's on one hand, it's fun to kind of lean into the joke and have fun with it and make that a thing. But on the other hand, there are a lot of wrestling fans who are not very forgiving. And I've seen some people being like, they're just trolling us instead of trying to put on a good show, which I think is ridiculous. Like, I don't think that they're just trolling you to be dicks. I think that, you know, like they have enough creative freedom and enough like creative talent that I think that they could do something fun with it. But they're going to have to be careful if they're trying to sell a big product that, like, this can't just be for them anymore. You know, like, it has to be for a mass audience, which means it's probably going to be less for me because I like weird shit and I like in jokes and I like, you know, little story stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't really have like a proper answer as to what they should do, but I guess I understand the criticism of it. I just hope they turn it into something fun or let it go.
Yeah, no, it's funny to me that, like, you know, like one of the things that a lot of people loved about the Attitude Era so much was the bonkers stuff. So I think there's this thing of like, how do you go bonkers and have all this stuff that's kind of nuts, but at the same time, and it's weird to say because, I mean, the argument, and I'm guilty of it sometimes, is going, you know what, it needs to be realistic. Well, I mean, like, wrestling a lot of times is not realistic, right? But I think it's almost like you have to create a world where people are willing to lose themselves in something or lose themselves in people. And like, that's something that I feel like they've only done with three shows. So like, you've not really built it to that point. And then like, a lot of the, you know, there's probably going to be some stuff as we go forward the next kind of 12 months where you can say, well, you know, WWF did this in 2000. Well, yeah, but they had built, you know, 7 million people to watch them on Monday nights, so you can then do stuff like that. But when you're trying to build it, it's more difficult. So I guess for me, like, when I watched the Nakazawa Jubilee match, I was like, I know some people liked it, some people thought it was really fun. It just was not for me at all. But I'm curious about, you know, you mentioned being the elite, and it's like, it's funny to me that like being the elite, which was part of what got these guys this gig, is one of the things that is the biggest people are criticizing the most.
See, that's what I find interesting is that, like, if you're fans of Being the Elite and you're fans of what these guys have been doing, this is so right up their alley. Like, they do weird, sticky stuff, and it's fun. Like, that's what I like about it. That's what I liked about the variety on All Out. Like, they can't do a show like, or like All In, I mean, they can't do a lot of the stuff that they did on All In because, like, a lot of that was in joke, like Joey Ryan being killed by Adam Page and then having, you know, a parade of dicks come out, you know, like that kind of stuff. Isn't going to be as like accepted on like a television product, but I think that's, you know, that's where they come from and that's their sense of humor. So I can understand why they want to keep that as part of their shows because they don't want to just like put on another standard flat wrestling show. And I think the criticism that we're seeing kind of launched toward AEW might be kind of an indication of why WWE has flattened and has like flattened itself out over the years and gotten so like shiny and perfect and micromanaged and just like almost too slick, because if you do anything outside of the box or you do anything like different, then there are going to be people who are like, oh, well, that's not for me, or that's not for me, or they're going to criticize it so much. And when you start taking all those criticisms to heart, you just kind of take the whole life out of a product. You know what I mean? Does
Yeah,
that make
no,
sense?
that totally makes sense. I guess the other thing is that, like, if you do stuff that's bonkers and nuts, like, it still has to be good, right? Where, like, the librarian thing, I just don't think it's hitting with people. Like, and it's one of those things where, if you, I guess, if you're a comedian and you do a joke and you go, okay, well, it didn't really land as much as, or I think the first time it did land fairly well. Well, I thought it landed well when we were in the arena in Vegas.
Like the backstage segment with Kylie
Yeah.
Rae, I thought was funny.
But then it felt like it was like a diminishing return thing. So I guess you just kind of have to, if you do a gag and it doesn't work, you kind of have to let it go, or you know, figure out something else. And I think that's the key, is going to be, you need to, and I mean, it's going to be pretty fascinating going forward to see how this all plays out, because you're going to have AEW who want to be, you know, they're going to go on TNT and they're going to do all this stuff. And like you say, are they going to be able to keep the people that liked all the smaller stuff before this company got going? Or are they gonna, but then, I mean, if you're really good, you can hit all bases. You know, I'm sure there were people in 1998 who were like, you know, traditional wrestling fans who enjoyed Raw, or it comes in different shapes and sizes. But I mean, for Fight for the Fallen, let's kind of just quickly go down the card. We've got that 6-man tag on the pre-show, which should be pretty good. We've got, it's just been announced that Britt Baker is going to be in action. We don't know who her opponent is yet. Brandi Rhodes and Ali, Kenny Omega and Chima, Hangman Page against Kip Sabian, and SoCal Uncensored against the Lucha Brothers, and the main event is Cody and Dustin against the Bucks. So what matches are you looking forward to the most? What matches are screaming out to you? Anything that you think could be a sleeper hit on the night?
I mean, I'm most excited about Cody and Dustin versus the Bucks. I think that's going to be great. So like that's the one that I'm really super looking forward to. I think like Kenny Omega versus Shima, right, you said?
Yeah, I think it's Shima.
That's one I'm also really looking forward to. Like I think that's going to be great because obviously like we saw Shima at Double or Nothing and then his match with Christopher Daniels I really enjoyed from Fight for the Fallen or from Fyter Fest. Oh, there's so many shows and I'm getting them all confused. But I really enjoyed their match at Fyter Fest, and so I'm becoming kind of a Shima fan. And so I think like him versus Kenny Omega is going to be really great. Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing on the card that I'm like, that sounds horrible. Because even Sunny Kiss versus Peter Avalon, I'm looking forward to that on the pre-show because I'm curious to see more from Peter Avalon. I haven't really seen a ton of what he did. I think part of the reason the librarian thing with Leva Bates didn't work is I don't think Leva Bates is like all that good. And that can be part of the problem, right? Like, she's never been that great at wrestling. I love her cosplay stuff, but I don't think she's like a great actress, and I don't think that she's a great wrestler. So, I mean, I like her. I like her fine, but I just don't know that she can like pull it off as well as she should. So I'm kind of curious with Peter Avalon to see if that sticks a little bit more, because I mean, I love Sunny Kiss. I'm gonna watch anything Sunny Kiss does. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm looking forward to the show this weekend. It's kind of exciting that there are multiple shows this weekend that I'm looking forward to so much. Whereas normally when there's a weekend that's just like packed with wrestling, I'm almost dreading it in a way because it's just going to be like so much and feel like so much work. But like there's a lot of stuff I want to see.
But I guess one of the testaments to what they're doing is that, if you're someone who likes more wacky out there stuff, and I'm someone who likes more glitz and glamour, sports entertainment-y sort of stuff, like they're hooking both of us with the Cody and Dustin stuff against the Bucks. So
Yeah.
if they can keep finding those kind of stories, then hopefully.
And that's one of those ones too, Cody and Dustin versus the Bucks. Like going into it, who's going to win that match? Like, I don't know.
Well,
And
also the Bucks are probably not. One of the things that intrigues me about the match is I don't think the Bucks are going to be able to have their regular kind of match. It's going to be, you know,
no, it's going to be different style, which will be interesting to see too, like how they adapt to one another as, you know, as teams.
also we've got the Evolve 10th anniversary show. Evolve 131, I think it is, in their timeline. I'm just going to run through the card very quickly. Obviously, I don't know who some of these people are, so if I butcher the name, then, you know, direct your Twitter abuse to someone else, because I'm sure Sondra will let me know. We've got Brandi Lauren against Shotzi Blackheart. We've got Eddie Kingston and Joey Gacy, who are the tag champs in Evolve, against AR Fox and Leon Ruff. Four-way with Kurt Stallion, Sean Maluta, Stephen Wolf, and Harlem Bravado. Babatunde against Colby Carino. Anthony Henry against Arturo Ras. Ras? Ruas is how it's worded.
Ruas?
Russ, like a rusk.
Ruas?
Anyway, winner-take-all match for the WWN Championship and the Evolve Championship. JD Drake, who's got the WWN belt, and Austin Theory, who has the Evolve belt. Josh Briggs and Anthony Green in a Future Is Now showcase match. And then
I'm so excited about that one.
Andrew Gulak and Matt Riddle in a singles match. It's a Catch Point reunion match. And then Adam Cole defend the NXT title in the main event against Akira Tozawa. So, I mean, obviously, people who just follow WWE will know Gulak, Riddle, Cole, and Tozawa. Who, if you were to name, say, give us two other matches that you would suggest if people haven't checked out Evolve that they should check out and who the people are.
Josh Briggs and Anthony Green should be fantastic. They wrestle in Beyond as well, so I've gotten to see some of their work. I'm not as familiar with a lot of the Evolve talent as I am like some of the like Beyond and other places, I guess. But Anthony Green is the retrosexual. He's like he comes out to the ring with his platinum honeys, so kind of like think like I mean they're two like female valets that come out with him, and he's awesome. And Josh Briggs is just like really, really great too. So that is a match that I'm definitely looking forward to. Shotzi Blackheart versus Brandi Lauren, super looking forward to that. I don't really know Brandi Lauren's work very well, but Shotzi Blackheart is one of my favorites. She is definitely like a champion for intergender wrestling, but also she's just like she's real, real good, and I am a huge fan of her. So those are the two that I think, other than the WWE announced matches, that I'm super looking forward to. Drew Gulak versus Matt Riddle is gonna be great, and I'm so excited about it. Like I'm so excited about it because seeing Catch Point, you know, like reunite and get to fight on an Evolve show, that's huge. Like I'm really looking forward to the Evolve show to the point where like they're announcing what's happening on the show and I'm like it's probably a good thing that I'm not going to be home during Fight for the Fallen or Evolve because I'm going to be at work so I don't have to choose which one to watch live and like I don't know which one I'm going to switch on first. It's just going to depend on my mood on the night probably which one I feel like switching on first because they're both sound so good.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess for some other people, the pre-show of Fight for the Fallen might depend where they go live. Might be just like, well, I'll go and watch the Evolve one right now. But it's good to have the choice. And I mean, the good thing is that like, you can just because now it's not really like a you need to pick one or the other. Like lots of people are probably going to watch both anyway.
It's crazy to me to think that like and I know that it was a petty move for WWE to like be streaming this Evolve show and really promoting it against Fight for the Fallen. I know that that's petty,
Oh
but then there's the
no.
other like oh it's super petty. It's super petty. And like but the other part of me is like from the perspective of the people who work for Evolve, them getting to be on such a big network platform and getting to like I mean Anthony Green's going to be on the WWE network. Like that's really cool. Like that's crazy. So like you know, it's petty as fuck, but at the same time, it's really cool that Evolve's getting a showcase and people are going to get to see independent wrestling on a bigger scale because people already like a lot of people already have the WWE network, right? So it makes it so accessible, and then maybe people will find their new favorite wrestlers, which is what I love.
So I mean, before we talk about Extreme Rules on Sunday, let's talk about Raw and SmackDown. Now, so for me, this is weird. I was fully expecting to come on this podcast and be like, okay, Raw was good again, SmackDown was pedestrian again. Nope, that's not what this happened this week. Raw was not good. It was not a good
No,
show.
Very bad, actually. I'm so glad you agree with me because, oh boy,
Have you
was
met
Raw
someone who
bad.
didn't agree to that?
Well, no,
I
but.
mean, this is a well. The weird thing was like the Heyman promo was really good. I thought his promo was great. The 24/7 stuff was fun. It's kind of it. Like
Yeah.
it was a really weird show. I mean, part of me was going to kind of give him a pass because it is the go home to the show that, I mean, like the whole. I mean, somebody did ask me to do it, and I was going to do it, but I just didn't have the time. Somebody said, like, can you transcribe the Lacey and Baron Corbin promo and have you and Sandra act it out? I'm 100% down to do it. I just didn't have
Oh,
time to
we need to
trans.
do that actually. That would be quite fun.
Okay, well, maybe we'll try and do it for Retro Raw later this week. So
Sure.
if we do that Friday, Saturday, or something, we'll try. Yeah, or well, tomorrow's Friday, but maybe Saturday or something. But we'll try and get that together. But yeah, I mean, the verbiage of that was pretty bad. I mean, I think SmackDown's more deserving of our time to talk about. But is there anything from Raw, good or bad, that you wanted to bring up and kind of just discuss?
I'm trying to remember all what
Well,
happened on
let me
Raw.
take first then if you need a bit of time, because this is one that I do not understand. So,
Okay.
if you want to pay
I remember
seven.
Bailey being a dick, but other than that.
Well, we'll get to her. Seven figures, and you sign Rey Mysterio, one of the greats.
Oh, yep, that was an interesting choice, wasn't it?
He had now because I was talking to Steve Gunn, and I was like, he's not done anything interesting since he came back. And I was like, no, wait a minute, no, he did have that Andrade series, which was great before they just like never followed it up. And like he's been there for what? Because I think he debuted in October of last year. I think it was SmackDown 1000 that he came back,
Sounds plausible.
and he comes back here, return, and he's beaten by Samoa Joe in 55 seconds. No, sorry, Bobby Lashley. He's beaten by Bobby Lashley in
It's
55
worse. It's
seconds.
worse than being beaten by Samoa Joe in 55 seconds. It's Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley, who last week was electrocuted and nearly died.
Well, here's my thing. It's not that I'm saying you can't beat Rey Mysterio. Like, Rey Mysterio is the legend. He is someone who should be putting people over. But he's not the guy you beat on Raw in 55 seconds.
Rey Mysterio should not be like, I'm trying to think what the equivalent would be in NXT. Rey Mysterio should not be like Sean Maluda in NXT, right? Like, bless Sean Maluda. I am excited to see him on that Evolve show. I really like him as a wrestler. But when Sean Maluda comes out for a match, a lot of times in NXT against like Dominik Dijakovic or Keith Lee or someone like that, you know the deal. Like, you know that Sean Maluda is probably not going to be victorious in that particular bout. When Rey Mysterio, legend Rey Mysterio of like,
Do you ever do the thing
he's
where,
like,
like, remember when William Shatner did the songs? Remember
yeah.
when he spoke? It's very hard to not think Rey Mysterioso, because that's what he says.
That's
Anyway.
right. Oh, I forgot about that. But like, I mean, and you take a legend like Rey Mysterio, who has such an illustrious career. Like, he is absolute legend of Lucha Libre, like one of the most famous wrestlers WWE has access to right now, right? In terms, like, am I wrong
No,
that he should be
he's.
treated like, I mean, they should be treating Rey Mysterio with the same fanfare that they treat like Undertaker when he comes back, or like Jericho when he comes back. That's how Rey Mysterio's return to the ring should feel. And like during his last run with WWE, which was fairly lackluster, to be kind, I was kind of like, Rey Mysterio can't go anymore. He just needs to be done. He has no knees, da 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 da. But then like he took time off and he went to Lucha Underground and he went to other places. And Rey Mysterio is still great. Like he can't go like it's 1996, but he can go like super well, especially if you put him in a position to have a really great match. That series with Andrade was fantastic. But no, instead it just kind of went nowhere. And now he comes back and just gets squashed, and it's just a big bummer. And like, I'm not even the hugest Rey Mysterio fan in terms of like, he's not one of my guys, right? Like, he's never been like the guy for me because I don't know, like, I just didn't see the prime of his career. But fuck, it's Rey Mysterio, you guys.
This is not hard. Now, I do want to say, and I'm not being an apologist here, but like I do almost think, right, I know next week is the first week that Heyman and Bischoff are like supposed to be
Like
proper
officially in charge.
officially in charge, right? So, like, look, is Heyman gonna throw his toys out the pram on the go home show to Extreme Rules? The last pay-per-view that they're kind of seeing through before the new start, okay? So I can give most stuff a pass. But the Rey thing, I was just like, I don't. And also for Rey Mysterio, like, I don't know Rey Mysterio. I don't know what his motivations are. But like, he signed an 18-month deal, which would be up in around April. I would be very much thinking about maybe not extending that, because it's one of those things of like, do you want to be the, like, people think about the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase, right? Ted DiBiase was a main event level player. He sold money. He drew money. He sold tickets when he was on top, right? He had a legitimate gripe. Now, though, he's the jokey old man that laughs and does skits. Now, that's fine because he's like 70 years old and, you know, that's fine. Rey Mysterio's in his 40s. He's still got more to do. Does he really want to just be known as like the small Mexican man, which is essentially what they book him as?
I mean, they're treating Rey Mysterio and Kalisto like on even, yeah, I mean, maybe not quite to that level, but doesn't it feel like Kalisto could have done this match just in place of Rey Mysterio and no one would have known the difference? And should have.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing. So the whole show, I actually thought this story was pretty fun, of Shane Drew talking to all these people who worked at the building because they're going to pick somebody to be Roman's partner. Like, that's something that in the Attitude Era would have been really good. So, like, I'm not knocking what they were, you know, the story, because it builds up through the night and you see who it's going to be at the end, right? We've seen this 100 times. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
I did love, in particular, the guy who sells cold beer backstage where there are no fans.
Yes.
That was a particular favourite. So
the $15 beer.
The $15 beer, which $15 for a beer. America. Like, how are you...
Arena pricing is insane.
No wonder these corporations are rich. So the... anyway, so the guy that is eventually chosen is a janitor who has a mask on. Gary Garbutt is his name. And he does some... So the whole spot is supposed to be, this is what used to happen, is that this guy would end up coming in and getting the win, and then he'd unmask and be like, oh, wow, it's him.
Yeah, and, of course. And instead of getting beaten.
In the most Cedric Alexander thing, he loses and then is revealed, and it's like, we're supposed to be impressed?
But, like, you just lost.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I don't understand. It's like, but you just lost. Because, yeah, I mean, like, if they would have brought out the janitor and, you know, and it, obviously, like, he starts doing Cedric Alexander's moveset. And so if you're familiar with Cedric Alexander and his matches, it was pretty obvious who it was. I mean, I also knew who it was before I watched the show. But, yeah, it was for him to just get beaten, right? Like, didn't he take a claymore? And then, of course, Shane got the cover on him because Shane fucking McMahon has to win everything. And I don't understand why. And I just want to set my brain on fire sometimes when I watch this program. But, like, Shane pins Cedric and then there's the big reveal. And then Roman Reigns is just like, haha, you're Cedric Alexander. But, like, it didn't work because you still lost. So what even?
And you're still Cedric Alexander. Like, at the end of the day, like, it's not as if he's been like, it's not as if there's been vignettes and you're supposed to think differently of him and blah, 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 blah. It's just, oh, there's Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, Cedric Alexander, who's been chasing after the 24/7 title for weeks. Which, like, is fine. And I'm fine with having Cedric Alexander chase after the 24/7 title and be in that pack. But, like, I just don't know what the purpose of this was. Like, it didn't make anyone more interesting.
No, it did not. So Raw was a bummer. But then came SmackDown, and I just thought it was a really fun show. Like,
SmackDown was actually a lot of fun this week, yeah.
My favorite SmackDown in a long time. Like, I even thought Dolph Ziggler was good on this show.
Well, I don't know if I want to go that far, but...
Like, he was, like, he was, like, what, something they did in this show, it was so small, but it was, like, it really, like, I was like, that's so clever. We'll get to the Owens stuff in a second, but basically when Ziggler goes backstage and he's like, you know, you've kicked out Kevin Owens, what am I going to do? And Shane says, you're going to face Roman Reigns in the main event. And Dolph didn't flinch. And he's like, yeah. Because he should say that, because he always talks about how he's the main event, so he should not be surprised or upset to be in the main event. But sometimes in wrestling you get these moments where, like, he would be, like, freaking out, like, oh my god, I've got to face Roman Reigns. Well, no, he wants to face Roman Reigns. He
did avoid one of my least favorite tropes, is like, I'm going to punish you, a professional wrestler, by putting you in a professional wrestling match.
Yes.
And then the wrestler's like, oh no, I have to wrestle a wrestling match doing my job as a professional wrestler? This is the worst punishment I can imagine. No, Dolph did avoid that pitfall, so I will give him props for that.
So the opening to the show was Ziggler's talking to Kayla Braxton, and then Kevin Owens comes up. They're outside in the parking lot. Kevin Owens comes from behind in his car, just beeping his horn. Dolph Ziggler starts doing his spiel. Owens is just like, "Oh my god!" And then they start brawling. They're fighting. Shane McMahon turns up and basically kicks Kevin Owens out for the night. Then this was filmed early in the day. Shane then says he's going to change the main event. It's going to be something else. Then as the announcers are sort of opening the show, Kevin Owens turns up at the announce table, cutting a promo, talking about how Shane McMahon takes up too much TV time and he should go away. And then Shane comes out and cuts the mic, and he does that great thing where he just like kind of goes, like, "I've handled it. The mic's cut. It's fine." And leaves. And then Owens gets Byron Saxton's mic, and he's going off on one, and he's just, like, screaming. And this was great.
It was a three-microphone situation, and it was brilliant. Kevin Owens is a blessing. Kevin Owens speaks for us all. I mean, for him to rail against Dolph Ziggler last week and this week to say that Shane McMahon is taking up too much television time and taking time away from people like Buddy Murphy, like Asuka, like Kairi Sane. I mean, the angels have, like, been singing down from the heavens. Just, it's so beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful, and I love him so much, and he is the best thing. And I mean, it kind of shows, right, that WWE is aware of the criticism, too, because Kevin Owens is obviously very self-aware, and Kevin Owens is obviously very aware of the criticisms toward the show, and it's like he's speaking for all of us at this point.
They're not having him cut that promo unless it's a response.
Of course.
And like, so then, I mean, that played into the main event where Roman's facing Ziggler and Shane gets involved, and I just thought Shane was pretty good in commentary in the main event. I've got to give him that, even though he's all over the show and it's too much, but he was good on commentary. I've got to say, I know that Shane is involved in a lot of different feuds and it's frustrating and stuff, but if the whole goal of this is to be that, because here's what I would do, just my fantasy booking hat, if you want to ask me, because Owens comes in and stunners Shane on the show. I think Kevin Owens should come out after Extreme Rules and be like, do something where he like hijacks the show, or he does something, he basically goes, "We've had enough of you," and challenges Shane McMahon to a match at SummerSlam, and if he beats him, he's gone. And he beats him. And he's gone.
Yeah.
Because I think that moment would mean much more for Owens to get it than Roman or Undertaker or anybody else. Like, him getting to do it, I feel it would be another kind of feather in the cap. What you were talking about, if he's one of us. You know, he's like, I know it's funny because I was talking to Steve Gunn about it on the train today, like, about Kevin Owens and why I think he works for me. First of all, like, I'm willing to overlook the short-term heel run there. I know it's bad, and trust me, if you want to talk about how it doesn't make sense, I'm with you. I'm just choosing to ignore it because
it's one of those things that if you think too much about it, it will hurt your brain, and we need to try and find joy.
Exactly. But also, this was their plan all along, but they changed it because Brian couldn't go to Saudi Arabia. I mean, the idea was that he wouldn't go either in the end, but you know, initially Brian wouldn't go to Saudi Arabia, so they had to change what was happening with Kofi and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things I think works about Kevin Owens is, do you know why I think Kevin Owens, and I think I'm putting Becky in there too, but do you know why I think Kevin Owens is a better comparison for Steve Austin than anybody else? Because I don't think that I don't relate myself to CM Punk in any way. I don't relate myself to Daniel Bryan in any way. I love him. But like, look, I want to eat a steak and watch porn and take poppers. Like, Daniel Bryan does not want to do those things for the most part. The reason I love Kevin Owens is I relate to Kevin Owens as I would have related to Steve Austin. Like, Steve Austin seems like one of us, or he did. And back then, he would, you know, one middle finger to the boss, he would swig the beer, and Kevin Owens seems like one of us. And I feel like that's there's not a lot of relatable wrestlers. We don't relate to Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns has come with one, or Seth Rollins, who's like, you know, a company robot. Like, but I feel like we relate to Kevin Owens. We relate to Becky Lynch. That's why these people, to me, are more. I gravitate towards them more. What do you think of that? Is like any?
Well, I think no. That makes perfect sense, and I think we relate more to them, and they also seem very authentic as characters and as people, right? Like, when Becky Lynch was coming out there, and she was Becky Balboa, and she got her face broken, and she was like, "I want to fucking main event the show," we were like, yeah, like, because she wasn't the chosen one. She was never supposed to be the one who was on top. It was always supposed to be Charlotte. And so because Becky was like not the chosen one, we got behind her. And Kevin Owens is never going to be the chosen one, right? Like, I mean, the company is very fond of Kevin Owens. They wouldn't be giving him like universal title runs and having him be involved in the show and everything. But he also, like, his win-loss record isn't great or whatever. So it's not like we're gravitating toward him because he's just so good at winning matches. It's not like everything he does has always been stellar. But when he starts cutting promos like this about how frustrated he is with the show and how frustrated he is with the programming and how annoying it is that Shane McMahon is everywhere, that resonates with me because I'm really annoyed with Shane McMahon being everywhere. When he tells Dolph Ziggler to just stop it because it should have been you 8 years ago and then it kind of was, but now it wasn't and it will never be again, I relate to that because I have been feeling those things for years about Dolph Ziggler. And so I can relate to Kevin Owens' frustration of being like, why am I in this company where I can't advance what I'm doing because of all of these obstacles and all of these, like, you know, these hurdles that are being put in front of me by, you know, corporations or anything like that. That is something I can relate to. And I think when characters feel authentic like that, and when they're very good at delivering promos and very good at conveying emotion, and we're able to relate to them, that's kind of the magic sweet spot of where you want to be with a professional wrestler. And like, I love it. I love him. I think he's great. It's to the point where I'm like, yes, make him the biggest baby face in the world. Even though I know, like, if he's in an alliance with somebody, he's going to turn on them because he's the worst friend ever. But like, he's also a dad who loves his kids and loves zoos. So I love Kevin Owens. I think he's fantastic.
So, I mean, anything else on SmackDown that you wanted to kind of talk about?
Aleister Black versus Antonio Cesaro should be real good.
It
I'm
should
excited
be.
About that.
Cesaro's got a new kind of demeanor after Raw, and he's just, I mean, this is one of those things you can see, this is get Heyman kind of written over it. I know they had this plan beforehand, but I don't know if beforehand they, it doesn't strike me that beforehand they were going to have Cesaro have new music and be a badass and all that kind of stuff, because it's just never something they've really seemed that interested in. But I like the idea of, like, does Heyman still feel guilty about that 2014 run that they had? You know, because that essentially kind of neutered Cesaro in a lot of ways. So it makes
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, because did you have any inclination of, like, who Aleister Black's opponent would be?
Well, WrestleVotes had said a couple of weeks ago there was talk of it being Cesaro.
Okay. And I see, and this is why I don't follow WrestleVotes, because I mean, they obviously, like, they have their place. I just don't like spoilers as much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think what's interesting to me about that is because I could see a couple of weeks ago they would have been like, yeah, we'll let Cesaro be the black guy, Aleister Black guy. But like, I just don't think that this, to me, feels like it's more of Heyman's fingerprints over it than
like the way the reveal was done.
Yeah. Like, it's more, that's interesting because both of them need a win. This is not let's go through the card actually for Sunday quickly for Extreme Rules. And we can kind of, and I know how much you love her, but my God, Bayley on promos.
It's bad. It's really bad. Bayley's bad right now.
People,
and like,
I feel like people,
I love,
like,
Bayley, but she's bad.
Like, people are like, I feel like most people, I can't remember when I read it described. I was reading like a review of SmackDown. I think it was Wade Keller. And he said, the crowd don't seem to really like Bayley that much, but they also, it also feels like they feel bad for Nikki Cross getting, you know, sort of like, manipulated by Alexa Bliss. Which is like, so the fans are doing the nuanced thinking of how they like the wrestlers.
With the story here is like, so on Raw especially, I think Bayley was nicer on SmackDown to Nikki, but on Raw, Bayley was just a dick to her. Like, why was she so mean to Nikki Cross? You know, Nikki's trying to host her moment of bliss or whatever, and she's trying to talk to Bayley, and she's trying to be like, you know, why are you trying to come between me and Alexa? Like, Alexa's been nothing but nice to me. Alexa's been nothing but kind. Alexa's, like, given me opportunities and been my friend and stuff, which is true. Like, and we've seen Alexa Bliss be manipulative in the past, but one of the things that doesn't work is, like, in the Nia Jax feud, Alexa was like, Nia Jax was a bully to me and all this stuff, and Nia never really, like, came back about it, right? Like, not properly, and it was never, like, this is supposed to be manipulation. And so, I mean, I guess they kind of did, but like, it wasn't that well executed. So they're trying to tell the same story now. And like, Bayley, instead of standing up for herself, this is something I've been saying for weeks, but like, instead of standing up for herself and being like, no, like, I had to work really hard and da 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 da, she's just been like shrugging it off and laughing, and then going like, "Nikki, you can't trust Alexa. Nikki, you can't trust Alexa. Nikki, you can't trust Alexa." And like, it's making Nikki Cross into the most sympathetic babyface they have on the show, because she's the one being manipulated, but also being bullied by the one who's supposed to be the good guy. Like, I just feel bad for Nikki Cross. I want Nikki Cross to be the champion now. And like, if that's the goal, fine. But like, why does Bayley have to turn into a dick in the meantime? Like, why can't Bayley come across as like a nicer person and someone who is concerned and like be like, no, like, you can have friends here. Like, Alexa's just not your best choice, maybe, and this is why.
Do you know what I think Bayley, or the person who plays Bayley, really needs to do? So like, Nikki Cross, for example, I buy into what she says. Whether she believes it or not, I don't know, but I buy into what she says. I buy into Alexa Bliss. I feel like Bayley struggles to, like, put across a story that's given to her that she doesn't believe in, or that she doesn't want. And I feel like that's just something, if you're going to be in this company, you need to be able to sometimes go with stuff that you don't love, or you don't, whatever, and by how you put yourself across, like The Miz, you know, The Miz has had a ton of shit thrown his way, and he's been so good with it that, you know, he keeps getting more and more and more. And I just feel like with Bayley, it's like there's only so many more times that you're going to get shots before people kind of go, well, you know, she does keep getting shots. Like, why are people, I mean, why is Bayley not able to come across as more likable? Mm-hmm. You know, because you would think that she's at a level of stardom now that she would have the power to say, hey, I don't want to say the line that way. Or I want to say the line that way. Like, she's not like, it's not like Vanessa Bourne's turned up on SmackDown. It's day one. It's like, you know, she's obviously going to just go with whatever's told. And obviously, did you see the thing about Alexa Bliss where she has like a sinus infection, and that's why they've added Nikki Cross in, and they had to rewrite TV for Monday and Tuesday? So she should be fine for Sunday. But let me just read you the card.
But yeah, I mean, making it a 2-on-1 handicap match is kind of a weird, like, it's a weird stipulation, but it's to the point now where, like, I know the story is kind of like, Nikki, why aren't you in this spot instead of Alexa? And like, Nikki really should be in this spot instead of Alexa, right? Like, it kind of seems that way because she's the one who's been getting wins and she's been the one doing all this stuff. But like, I don't think any of the story is really working, and it bums me out. Like, as someone who is a big fan of Bayley and like who really has connected to her in the past, I don't think she's very good right now. And it breaks my heart to say it, but it's just true.
Okay, so the card for Sunday is Raw Tag Team Titles, The Revival against The Usos, Last Man Standing, Lashley and Strowman, US Title, Ricochet versus AJ, Aleister Black and Cesaro, Triple Threat Tag Title Match with Daniel Bryan and Rowan, New Day and Heavy Machinery, Drew Gulak defending against Tony Nese for the Cruiserweight Title, Bayley defending the Women's Title for SmackDown against Alexa and Nikki Cross in a Handicap Match, Kofi defend the WWE title against Samoa Joe, Undertaker and Roman against Shane and Drew in a no-holds-barred tag match, and Seth and Becky against Baron and Lacey. I mean, apart from that last main event, the winner-take-all thing, a pretty strong card.
Yeah, it's a pretty strong card. I'm looking forward to it. Bayley versus Alexa and Nikki, I mean, there have got to be shenanigans and stuff. And, like, I know Nikki's saying that they're going to be the SmackDown co-women's champions, and I don't know if they're going to like try and split the belt like Lay Cool if they win or something.
Lay Cool,
but
memories, man, got them all.
Yeah. That was the first one I started watching wrestling, was when they were co-women's champions, so that always has a special place in my heart. But yeah, in terms of like matches, a lot of those I'm looking forward to. Like, I'm looking forward to Aleister Black versus Antonio Cesaro because I think the match is going to be great. I'm guessing it will probably be a win for Aleister Black because that's kind of what he needs, because he hasn't really been around doing much other than talking in a dark room for a while, and that always seems to be Cesaro's role, is to, you know, get almost to the top and then not win. But yeah, like, there's a lot of really good stuff on there. I don't know, like, I'm still not the most interested in just WWE in general. Like, I'm looking forward to Extreme Rules being done and seeing what they start to do for SummerSlam, because there's really not a build for SummerSlam yet, and that's in a month.
There's nothing. And I mean, I think that the Undertaker Roman Shane and Drew match could actually be really good if they do shenanigans. You've got Kevin Owens involved and Elias and stuff. Like,
I hope there are shenanigans, but like, I can't invest myself in it, because then if it goes horribly, horribly wrong and long, then I'll just be frustrated. Like, I just can't.
Oh no, listen, you're using history as your knowledge tool. I think Joe and Kofi is probably going to be decent. but you know, we'll, I guess we'll see. But anyway, we've got a bunch of listener questions actually. One involves Mr. Gulick actually, so we'll get to him. Let's just.
I'm so excited for Drew Gulick versus Tony Nese. Like, I know it's not for you, but like, I love new Drew Gulick. I think he is amazing. I am loving his new attitude. I am loving everything he does, and I really like this story that they're telling with him. I just really hope he wins.
Oh God, please! He can't not win that. Come on, come on now. Okay. So a bunch of questions. We'll go kind of quick fire here. Ben from Texas asks, can we discuss any opinions that we have on the Enzo versus Joey Janela fist fight from the Blink 182 concert in 2019?
Oh, this is my favorite thing of yesterday. It was so brilliant, wasn't it? Like, Joey Janela's just like, dude, I was drunk. And like, whatever. Like, I said, hey, I'm Joey Janela, want to fight? Like, the whole thing is so funny to me because, like, I don't, Enzo Amore is just such a cretin. Like, he's just such a cretin. And he's trying to spin it into this big thing, and he's, like, trying to talk all tough, like, Joey Janela. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm pulling up the tweets now because I have a couple of them that I saved. And the whole thing just, it was my favorite Twitter drama of yesterday for sure. What did Joey Janela say? Of course, my phone is freezing. Why would it not freeze right now? So Joey Janela's like, it's not a work. So I saw the dude and walked up and said, hi, I'm Joey Janela at the Blink 182 show. And we proceeded to have, I'm not Lennox Lewis, to have the shittiest fist fight of the year. I'm not a pussy, but we had fun. And of course, Enzo Amore comes back with, boy, we didn't have the shittiest fist fight of the year. I slapped your fucking hands down and walked up with mine up, and you walked away and let me know that all shit you talk is a work, which is fine if I were a wrestler. And it's like, first of all, Enzo, you don't make sense. Second of all, go away. And Enzo's like putting footage of the fight up on Instagram and stuff. The whole thing cracked me up, and Enzo just came across looking like a moron.
Do you know, it's funny because I can't say, somebody that we know has been in touch with Enzo in the last like 9 months, and by all accounts he is a pretty decent guy, but I think he has this idea of what he has to do publicly to keep his name out there, and I'm like, this is not a good way to go.
Like, none of it's not been positive. Any of the times that Enzo Amore has been in the news recently was what, like when he started his rap career.
No, which... I will not hear. I will go to the grave happy that I saw that music video and heard about his consensual penis. It was one of my favorite. It's right up there with Hulkster in Heaven. It really is.
Oh my gosh, it is. I would say they are kind of on even keel. But Enzo Amore's, you know, rise from the ashes like a phoenix has just not gone that well for him, because that, you know, rap video happened, and then he tried to sneak into SummerSlam in disguise and got kicked out off camera, where he didn't really make any sort of stink about it at all. Like, it did not affect the show whatsoever. And then now, like, he's fighting Joey Janela at a Blink 182 concert. I think, I don't have that tweet in front of me, but Kate, Make It Loud on Twitter, said something like, Enzo Amore and Joey Janela getting into a fist fight at a Blink 182 concert, like, proves that we've gone through some sort of time hole, and that's why we're getting a remake of Look Who's Talking.
She's not wrong. She is.
I mean,
not
it just
wrong.
In the year of our Lord 2019, what is even happening?
I just love that it's Enzo Amore, Joey Janela, fist fight,
so
like
bonkers.
182 concert, 2019. Anyway, Russell asks, do you think Heyman and Bischoff will push for wrestling to take place through adverts again at Must Kill the Crowd? Yes. I 100% think they will.
Because all of these, like, 2 out of 3 falls matches and stuff are so bad. And, like, elimination. Like, what even was the elimination match with Becky and Seth versus Selena and Andrade? Like,
crap.
What?
We didn't get it on SmackDown, thankfully. But, anyway, Lark wants to know early SummerSlam card positions. I'm with you. I'm kind of, what's making me intrigued about Monday and Tuesday next week is that's when, you know, Heyman's in, Bischoff's in. We're going to see, I will say this, WrestleVotes did put a tweet out today, which is pretty interesting. I will read out to you now. They said, was told recently that anything WWE had planned for SummerSlam in advance was all subject to change once Bischoff and Heyman fully start their roles this upcoming week. Good on Vince and Co to allow a legitimate clean start. No forced agendas off the jump. That's how it should be. So,
good.
So yeah, if something happens over the weekend that is good, then you know, go for it. You know,
I'm intrigued to see what they do, because they don't have a whole lot of time to build SummerSlam, but like as far as predictions, like I'm sorry, I really can't offer any because it's just going to depend on it's going to depend on Extreme Rules, but I think it's going to depend even more on Raw and SmackDown on Monday and Tuesday and seeing kind of where the pieces are falling into place for that. So I can't even really think of matches that I would want to see necessarily. Like maybe Nikki versus Bayley, maybe is a prediction.
I do want to see Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon. I do want to see
Yeah,
it.
that makes sense.
I would like to see that. John Fleser, Fleszar, Fleszar, Flozer, Flazar.
Our friend John.
Her friend John, Drew Gulak. Tell the lovely people in a couple of sentences who maybe haven't checked out 205 Live. What is the new Drew Gulak character, and how does it differ from what he was like in the past?
Okay, so in the past, Drew Gulak has always been campaigning for a better 205 Live or for a better NXT, right? So he wants to improve the atmosphere of the show, which is why he said like no jumping off the top rope and like it was a no-fly zone and all of his like PowerPoint stuff that was kind of quirky and fun was all about like creating a better and safer environment for 205 Live. And then he takes Jack Gallagher and Humberto Carrillo kind of under his wing because he's trying to improve the lives of people around him. The new Drew Gulak is no longer concerned for a better 205 Live. The new Drew Gulak is just concerned about a better Drew Gulak. Like he'd started focusing inward and started focusing on himself and doing whatever it takes to win. And then he won. And it's great. And so he's angry and he's kind of alone now. And he's not trying to recruit anyone. He's not trying to have a stable. He's just trying to be a badass and hurt people and twist them into knots. And I love him, love him, love him. And he is my champion and champion of my heart.
Champion of your heart. Then we have. I had to ask if this was real, but Craig Roberts, apparently Vince Russo put out a podcast a couple of weeks ago where he claims that a guy called Mike Williams. So he claims that it is a conspiracy theory that Paul McCartney is still alive, and that the real Paul McCartney died in 1966, and the man masquerading as Paul McCartney is Mike Williams. That weed must be good in Colorado.
I mean, this has been a conspiracy theory for a long time, hasn't it?
I'm not very good with conspiracy theories, and I don't follow a lot of them. So maybe this has been one that's very famous, and I just don't know about it. To
I mean,
me,
I've heard about this before.
is this like there's another Ultimate Warrior kind of
Yeah,
conspiracy
that's
theory?
exactly what it
Oh,
is.
okay, perfect. Okay, we can move on. Anthony Fitzpatrick wants to know, for the next NXT call-ups, do you have more faith in Heyman and Bischoff to use the talent in a better way than the dreaded feeling we currently have when talent are moved up? It's a good question.
If they are able to do what they want and have actual control over the shows, then yes. If they do not have as much control over the shows as we hope that they do, then no. I'm curious. I'm curious to see if things change. I would say that. I'm like cautiously intrigued.
There's a lot of rumors about there's going to be another brand split coming up in September,
Like an actual split?
like an actual split. And there's also apparently WWE have begun building new staging. So
Ooh.
who knows? That would be good. Anything to differentiate would be good.
I mean, having Raw and SmackDown feel like different shows would be ideal. Like, I want the wild card rule to die in a fire, and I want to go back to having a brand split because I think both shows were better when we had that.
I guess this one's more for me because it would be more aimed at me. Tron wants to know, Taker versus Sting in Saudi question mark. We don't want it to happen, but will it? Look, every dream match that has happened in Saudi Arabia has been a bust, like a big old bust. And I just don't know how many more bust matches you want to have, because and it's not even the money and the whatever. It's like Goldberg and Undertaker, they were two guys in their mid-50s who had to have a match in extreme heat temperatures, which is hard enough when you're in your mid-30s, and they've never worked together before, and there's all these factors. I just think that these Saudi Arabia shows, as much as the money might be there, like, I just don't have any faith that any of these matches are going to be good in Saudi Arabia. If you were to do them in Madison Square Garden and do it in 10 minutes, I'm sure you could get something out of it, but history says these Saudi Arabia matches are a bust, so I'm not really interested anymore.
I just have a suggestion
Sure.
that for everyone who wants to see The Undertaker versus Sting or The Undertaker versus whoever, or like just erase the fact that Undertaker versus Goldberg happened in Saudi Arabia, purchase one of the WWE video games and then play the match there. And I think that you would get more satisfaction out of it.
Yeah, because look, if they can't have a great match with Shawn Michaels?
Yep.
Okay, Chris Hunt wants to know, a really left field subject, Megan Rapinoe, does what she has done at the WC and is speaking up about now have an effect on female performers, how they're paid. Do you know what this is about?
It's the equal pay for the World Cup thing.
World Cup, yes, sorry, Chris. Megan Rapinoe, does what she's done at the World Cup and is speaking up about, equality for pay. Do you think it's going to make a difference or have an effect?
I hope it has an effect. It would be ideal for it to have an effect. I mean, I've seen people kind of come at it from all sides. Like, yes, the women should be getting paid significantly more than they are, considering what the men are paid. I know that people on the other side of it are like, well, men's soccer or men's football generates so much more revenue than women's football does. So
can
women
I just make a
counter
to that?
Yeah.
The women's US football team, it's football. You guys can call it soccer all you want. It's called football.
I called it football.
No. I'm talking other people. The women's football team brings in more money than the men's football team because the men's American football team is rubbish. So, so I think there's a fair argument to say that it should be based on what people are paid, should be based on the metrics of what they bring in. I have no problem with that that's how you want to frame it. But then you can't then change your mind when it's women and say they can't have it. They bring in more
than
the men.
And I mean, also they do bring in more than the men. They brought in more viewership than the men. Like the Women's World Cup final, I think, was more viewed than the men's final or something. And I haven't really followed this very closely because I sports.
We should say that's in the States because obviously the men's World Cup football is infinitely more popular worldwide.
Of course. No, I meant in the States. I'm just comparing this past year or like this past cycle of World Cup. I don't know how the World Cup works. But like the women have been very popular. They've been like all over the news. It's been really kind of cool to see women's football just all over the news here. Obviously, like the women in the US being in the final was cool because, you know, we're like, hey, a thing, that's really neat. But I mean, yeah, I think it should have an effect. And I think that part of the reason the Men's World Cup is more popular worldwide and more viewed is because it's always been presented as the main thing, right? Like men's sports have always been presented as like you have to watch the men's version of it. And the women's version is almost like the minor leagues, just in terms of like marketing and presentation and all of that kind of stuff. And I think if you put enough marketing and presentation behind the women's sports, then I think they can gain equal footing, especially right now when they're super popular. So yes, equal pay. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, same. I like I said, I like the idea in sports, especially if you judge it on the metrics. Like I'm good with that, but then you have to. I mean, you can't then change your mind when it doesn't go. I don't know if you're some sort of sexist pig that just doesn't want women to. What difference does it make to your day if a female football player earns the same as a male football player? Like, I actually did see a great tweet. Oh, please, God, tell me it's on Scottish Patter. About football that just, like, made my life yesterday. Where was it? We've got three more questions, by the way, just to very quickly get through. Okay, we'll do one more question. I'll try and pull this up while I find it.
Okay,
so, question from Craig here. Craig, the dirty pop junkie, wants to know, Vince McMahon dies tomorrow, who gets control of what? Will Shane roll over and let Triple H and Stephanie control everything? Where does Linda stand?
Shane doesn't have a backstage role, does he?
Yeah, I think Stephanie and Triple H are all pretty much set. They're going to get it.
Because as far as I remember, Shane McMahon is brought back as an on-screen character. He's not in an executive position. So, yeah. I mean, Triple H and Stephanie are already in executive positions. They would still continue to be in those executive positions.
Yeah, I think they'd get it. And I don't think that Linda wants to come back. I can't find this tweet, but basically there was a really funny Scottish tweet about, I love how wee John can go out and get pissed all night, come home, hungover, and still kick a corner, but footballers paid 90 grand a week can't do it. So true. Like,
oh, that's funny.
Anyway, last two questions. We have one from Joshua. Do you think that Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens will ever get another long stint at the top? There's always a Saudi show shortly after Mania / around the summertime. I feel like those shows will prevent us from a true main event run from Bryan, at least not with the title. Good question.
Yeah, I mean it's something to consider. I guess they could, like, I don't know how important it is to have the WWE champion on the Saudi shows because they seem to kind of exist in their own canon, like away from everything else. And maybe it's easier for me to say that because I don't watch them. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if the Saudi shows are the main contributing factor to why they're not champion. I don't know, actually. Like, I would like to see another run with Daniel Bryan. I think Daniel Bryan was fantastic as the Planet's champion. I think he's great as the Planet's tag team champion as well. And the Kevin Owens one is interesting because, you know, if he's unwilling to go to Saudi Arabia as well, like these Saudi Arabia shows are just basically not helping anything or anyone except WWE getting money.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good point Josh has brought up. I mean, Bryan and Owens. I mean, I was actually thinking when I was watching SmackDown, I was like, no offense to Heavy Machinery, who I like, but like Daniel Bryan's one of the tag champs. Like, really? Like, such a waste. Like,
It's
he's.
crazy. I mean, like I like what he's doing, all right, but he hasn't really been that important or that all over TV. He's been fantastic on commentary when they've had him on commentary for different matches, and I've really enjoyed his promos about like getting serious. If you want to know about like Drew Gulak's character a little bit, like Daniel Bryan is channeling a little bit of it too. Like you need to get serious. You need to, you know, like take this seriously and be the best version of yourself. And that's kind of what Daniel Bryan seems to be instilling in Heavy Machinery. So I mean, I like that story quite a bit. I'm curious if Heavy Machinery are actually going to win the titles and go with it, and if they can do something with that. But the tag team scene on both Raw and SmackDown hasn't really been all that featured. Like, it doesn't feel like the most important part of the show, probably because Shane McMahon's not one of the champions, so how could it be? But, you know, Daniel Bryan being one of the tag champions, I don't have a problem with necessarily. It's just like, damn. Maybe Daniel Bryan, who like came back to us and now he's doing this. Okay. I would rather see him in like a more compelling story or have the tag team championships be featured. Like all the stuff Daniel Bryan is saying about how tag teams aren't main eventing and how no one really like dreamed of a tag team main event for WrestleMania and how that's what he dreams of and that's what he wants. Like make that happen.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you 100%. And then the last question, I don't know what the person's real name is, but their name on Twitter is Still Trying. Can you discuss the difference in positive wrestling informers, for example, Inside the Ropes and Cultaholic, against negative informers? What do you think, Sandra, being a positive wrestling informer?
Well, I'm happy to be thought of as a positive wrestling informer. I'm not entirely sure what the question means, but I can just kind of speak to how I come at wrestling and how I like try to talk about it. Like, obviously, there are things that we're going to criticize in wrestling. There are things we're not going to enjoy. But I think that you and I do these shows, and everyone at Inside the Ropes does these shows because we really love wrestling and we're fans of wrestling. So when stuff is bad, yes, we'll criticize it. Throw Dolph Ziggler to the sun, please. But I would rather talk about stuff that I enjoy and stuff that I like. You know, like that's why I bang on about Drew Gulak so much because he's my fave and I think he's real great and I want people to check him out. You know, I would rather support wrestling as a whole and hope that it grows and builds and gets better and is better for all the talent involved. Like, does that make any sense? Instead
Yeah,
of just
no.
being negative and critical and like hate watching everything and making myself miserable?
It makes total sense. I mean, I guess the thing is, like, you live in an era where WWE really is the main, that's your coverage point. That's what you do cover. I mean, that's what I watch mostly. So for me, it's probably not as frustrating as maybe for Sandra sometimes. But,
I
that's why,
just want to
like,
scream. I'm like, the matches at Beyond are so good, you guys.
and that's like, it'd be. The good thing is, if we were doing a podcast and Sandra brings up a match from Beyond or Chikara or Evolve, whatever, some people might go and get to check that out who haven't checked it out before. Like for me, I put a tweet out about, I thought I said, we give WWE a lot of crap sometimes, which is much deserved, but I actually think that the 1 week babyface turn of Kevin Owens was brilliant from what they did last week and the way they played it out with Shane when he started asking the wrong questions and then he got angry at Ziggler and. To this week and the way they handled this week, I thought it was just really, really clever writing. And
That's very good.
somebody just wrote, "Oh, great, another authority angle, blah blah blah." And I was like, "Look, if you're looking for like nothing to be rehashed, then you're probably never going to get to watch movies or like watch TV because loads of stuff is rehashed. That's how things work. It's, you can't really get past it." But to me, I just kind of focus on like, is there something I like out of it? Is there something I can enjoy, but like I'm more than happy to rant on something if I don't like it. as well. But I just, my difference only comes in, I wouldn't spend all my time on something that I didn't like. And I think sometimes I see people and I kind of go, why do you do this? It doesn't seem like you even enjoy any of it at all. And that's what I don't, I just kind of go like, maybe you should just go do something else. I mean, like, I'm talking about people who are like in wrestling informers, whatever you're calling it.
Right.
Like,
Because
I'm
I mean,
just.
I think that you and I probably have certain people in our heads of like everything they say is so negative and they cover WWE and it's just like, you must be really miserable, like if you have to watch it. Because I mean, I think one of the differences too, when you and I are like really disillusioned with WWE, when the product is so bad that it hurts our souls, like we're not necessarily going to spend the 5 hours watching the whole thing just because like nobody really wants to hear us talk about that pish anyway, right?
Yeah, like, so, I
So
mean,
we can
for.
find other things in wrestling to discuss, like AEW or Beyond or whatever.
Exactly. And you know, June, the kind of June into July, I mean, I was really. From about, I would say, Money in the Bank, just about maybe 2 weeks before Money in the Bank, till like the Heyman Bischoff announcement, I was like really kind of down on it and just kind of checked out. But there was a lot of AEW stuff going on. And now this kind of Heyman Bischoff thing, I'm now at a point where I'm, you know, like, the what was the last card? Stomping Grounds. Stomping Grounds. Stomping Grounds is like, ugh, okay. But like I was when we were going through that Extreme Rules card earlier, I was going, I think this is a really good show. There's a lot of, like it feels more built than last month. It feels like there's more on there. Like Ricochet and AJ is a program that's happening in the world. Aleister Black and Cesaro is a program that's happening in the world. So again, it's just about choosing to focus on the stuff that you like and the stuff that, you know, if Drew Gulak and Tony Nese is your thing, if Bayley and Alexa and Nikki Cross is, or if Taker and Roman against Drew and Shayna is, whatever it is that you like. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of figuring out what works for you in terms of wrestling informers. But the problem is, there's some people who, if you're a negative wrestling informer and that's where you get your audience from, then if you try and become really positive, you're going to lose your audience. So.
You'll lose your audience, but like, I guess like I'm happy that we're just not as negative because I find that a lot of the people who follow the more negative voices also tend to be the people that I just don't want to talk to. Because like, there are certain negative wrestling fans that tweet us regularly who are like, oh, this is so pish, this is so bad. Like, I mean, people who tweet us and are like, I've given up on WWE and I've canceled my subscription. And then they like tag us. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, I applaud you having more free time with your, but like, I don't understand. Are you trying to get congratulations from me for can't like, I don't
It's a
know
whole
what
weird thing.
you expect my response to be.
I got a message from Daniel Morris, and he was like, just listen to the Chikara podcast that you guys did, and he was like, I was quite surprised at how positive you were about it. And I was like, well, I was being fair to it. Like, I wasn't, I the stuff I didn't like, I didn't like. The stuff I liked, I liked. I was being fair to it. I wasn't being, I could, you know, because there's some people who go and they look for the stuff they don't like. And trust me, I found it. But I didn't, that wasn't what I walked away with. That was just part of it. But yeah,
That's
so.
just not how I can approach entertainment. Like I've gotten to the point where like there are certain TV shows that I've just stopped watching because they weren't really gripping me anymore. They weren't that exciting. I didn't look forward to watching them. It just felt like a habit. And like other than standard main roster WWE programming, which I do continue to watch and follow because it's my job, like I just don't have room in my life for things that don't bring me joy.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, the new Stranger Things. Someone had said to me that the new Stranger Things wasn't very good, or they thought it was
I
lazy.
loved it.
What? So I'm not finished. I'm on like see episodes. I'm on six. I'm about to start episode
Okay.
six. But like I do think the first three, four episodes were pretty slow. It was kind of, it took a bit wee while to get going, but I liked it when it got going, and that was one of those ones that I kind of, when I first started watching it, I was like, I wasn't as gripped as I remember being before, but you know, I got there. So, but then like The Walking Dead, I used to watch The Walking Dead and I loved it, and then eventually I just went, why am I watching this show where the only end game is everyone I like is going to die? Like there is no point in me watching this show anymore, so I just stopped watching. So, you know, you just figure it out. Okay, so that's pretty much it for us, for now. We'll be back on we'll be back on for Friday or Saturday with Retro Raw, where we're going to talk about Bruce Pritchard talking about who apparently was in talks to be the higher power
What?
before Vince McMahon said no, and the person is wrestling in 2019. Don't spoil it for
What?
Sandra on Twitter. Yep, we'll be talking about that. So yeah, that's there's
Wait, so Bruce Pritchard was supposed to be the higher power, or Bruce
no.
Pritchard said who was supposed to be the higher power?
Said who was supposed to be.
Oh. Was it Gangrel?
I mean, see, to be fair, if it had been Gangrel, it probably just would have been Gangrel. Like, so I think it probably, but no, it's not Gangrel. We'll be back with that though. Yeah, give us the plot.
Now I'm just really curious. No, not the Big Show. He's not really been wrestling. Ooh. Yeah, don't spoil it for me because I'm like really intrigued.
Okay, so what are the plugs though?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Find Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside underscore the Ropes. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes for bonus content. We'll be covering all of the wrestling from this weekend over the I don't even know what we're doing about this weekend. There's a lot of it, and I'm sure stuff's going to be on Patreon. YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes for interview content. Lots of fun stuff up on there. And InsideTheRopes.co.uk for tickets to see Awesome Kong, and tickets go on sale Monday to see Bret Hart as well.
Yes, so that is it from us. To play us out, what should we play?
What should we play?
I mean, should we play the tune that is up there with Hulkster in Heaven? Should we play Enzo Amore's consensual penis song?
Sure,
What's
why
the name of it
not?
again?
Phoenix,
I mean,
I think.
for somebody, wait, let me see if it is called Phoenix. I don't even remember that. Oh no, oh, that's just giving me kayak cheap
Because the
flights.
chorus is like, I rise like from the ashes like a phoenix gripping my consensual penis. Isn't that the
It is. It's called
chorus?
Phoenix. You knew the name of
I
it.
told you.
So good. Okay, I'm away
Oh, I
to.
hate him so much. I loathe him and his existence. He's
I
just, he's such a cretin. Like, he's such a cretin.
He has such credit. What we will probably do, guys, is I don't know, maybe on Monday we do some sort of like Extreme Rules Fight for the Fallen Evolve thing of some
Yeah.
kind. I don't. Well, so I'm probably not gonna have time to watch everything. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna message Sondra on Sunday and say, "Tell me three matches I should watch from the Evolve show," and I'll watch
That makes
whatever,
sense.
and I'll watch whatever three you think are the best ones or the most notable ones.
Sure.
So, okay, we will be doing that on Patreon on Monday, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. But here is Real One, formerly Enzo Amore, talking about his consensual penis with Phoenix. Bye, everybody.
This song's so bad. Bye.
I'ma let y'all talk shit. If I had a fuck to give, I would give it. If you're froggy, you ain't gotta leave. All you gotta do is rivet. Putting on a zero fucks given exhibit. I got nothing to lose. Minute for minute, then a minute to win it. Sky's the limit. Sorry, officer. Gotta admit it. Yeah, I'm over the limit. Left car down with a one-way ticket. Rolled up with it. Spark that bitch. Car 99 with it. Lit my lips. Piss excellence. Bitch, I just shit it. Eyes full of hate on the crazy eights. Let's see how I pivot. Ball my court. Bounce back. We're at number 24. Fuck a shit footprint right off my image. Don't just look, cause you can listen. Wow. Double that sword, once I love, once I hate. Either way, I glisten. I ain't dumb. What's he gonna say? What's he gonna do? Got him on the toes like a midget. Out of urinal. Couple red roses, I'm a gimmick. Couple tears at the funeral. They cry tears of joy at my funeral. Yeah, they cry tears of joy at my funeral. Still I rise. From the ashes like a phoenix, middle finger to the sky, gripping my consensual penis. Lying asshole out in Phoenix. When I say this shit, I mean it. Fuck you, Marks, I hate it. This for all my fans are waiting. Entertainment's hottest.